Shalom Aleichem. This is Rabbi Kovacs. Mishnah Yomi is continuing in Chapter 1 of Chagiga, Mishnah Ches, Mishnah 8. Now, yesterday we spoke about a crooked thing that can't be fixed. And Bar Yochai explained that this refers to a Talmud Chacham who abandons learning Torah. That even if he returns to learn Torah later, all of those days or weeks that he missed out on Torah, those are times he did not have that light in his life because everything is included on the Torah. Now, Mishnah 8 continues that theme in a different direction. Heter nedarim porchin be'avir. The laws of releasing vows, they're as if they're flying through the air. Ve'ein lahem oma shismuhu. They don't have something to support them, meaning there are no explicit verses in the Torah about how to release someone's vows. Now, in the Gemara, they mention the pasuk lo yachel devaro, a person may not nullify his own word, which kind of implies that another person, maybe a sage or a court, could nullify his word, but that's sort of a hint. That's not a direct statement in the Torah that you could nullify a vow. Now, don't worry, we're going to get all into the details of how to undo your vows when we get to Nedarim, and we just recently had Yom Kippur. We also had Kol Nidre, which was actually a stipulation in advance that all of the Nedarim that we're going to make this year should not become legally binding. But for now, the mission continues. Hilchot Shabbat, Hagigot, Umeilot. The laws of the Shabbat, which we learn about in Masechet Shabbat, and Hagigot, which we're learning right now, and Me'ilot. Now, Me'ila is misuse of sacred items. Like if something belongs to the temple and a person uses it for their own personal benefit, that is a form of stealing, but it's a special form of stealing that requires a special restitution and often an offering to atone for stealing from the sacred funds, or eating an offering or the like. So this category, the Mishnah says, Harei hem, these ones are keharim hatluyim basara. These are like mountains hanging from a hair, meaning there's a lot of details to the laws of Shabbat and Hagigot and Me'ilot, but there's only a little bit of mention in the Torah itself. As the Mishnah explains, Shehen Mikra Mu'at, there's only a little bit of verses about this in the Torah, Halachot Merubot, but the actual laws are many. Now finally, the Mishnah adds, Hadinim, Din means judgment generally, but here it refers to monetary laws, such as lending, borrowing, stealing, and restitution. V'ha'avodot, and the avoda, meaning the offerings and the rituals in the temple, in the Mishkan. V'taharot v'tumaot, and laws of purity and impurity, such as contact with certain things that render someone ritually impure. The arayot. Arayot is intimate relations that are not allowed, marriages that cannot legally take place. This category, yesh lehem ol ma shismochu. They have what to rely on in the Torah, meaning the laws are pretty well spelled out in the Torah. For example, in Parshas Mishpatim, we have a lot of dinim in Mishpatim. And in Vayikra chapter 15, we say about to become tahor, become pure, v'rachatz b'mayim et kol besaro. A person has to go in the water that covers his entire body. So our sages figured out how big do you need, and that's the minimum size of a mikvah to achieve ritual purity. So here the verses from the Torah really help us out. But the Mishnah concludes, hen hen gufei Torah. But all of these categories, the mitzvot and the areas of Jewish law that have just barely any support in the Torah, but are learned out by our sages, or the ones that are pretty well spelled out by the verses in the five books of Moses, they are both equally the body of the Torah itself. Now let's go on to chapter 2, which is in some ways a continuation of this general discussion about learning the Torah. Ein dorshin, we do not make a drusha, we do not explain, but arayot b'shlosha, about in non-allowed relationships with three students. The Gemara explains here, what might happen is one of the three students asks Rabbi a question, and Rabbi and that one student get involved in a discussion, while the other two students will have their own debate about the nuances of the law and not hear everything the Rabbi is saying and come to make an incorrect conclusion. The Gemara mentions that everyone who has a healthy body usually has some sort of appetite and desire for such things in an allowed fashion. So if the sages, the judges, come to make a mistake about what's allowed, what's not allowed, it can lead to dire consequences. The Mishnah adds, V'lo ma'aseh bereshit b'shnayim. We do not explain the wonders of creation in front of two students. Now this refers to Kabbalistic concepts based on bereshit and they were given down individually, you know, one person, one rabbi to one student for a very long time. And so the Zohar was eventually revealed with a lot of that. I don't pretend to understand Zohar, so that's beyond my scope here. It is interesting that the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf 12 does actually discuss a little bit of some of these esoteric Kabbalistic concepts. You can look in Chagiga, Daf 12, for a little introduction, Kabbalah 101. And the Mishnah continues here, V'loba Merkava B'yochid. We do not explain the Maisei Merkava, which refers to the mystical vision of Yechezkel, Ezekiel chapter 1. We do not explain that even to one person, Elaim ken hayachocha mevin midaito, unless he has studied it on his own and begun to grasp the deep Kabbalistic concepts there, then his teacher can actually explain it to him in more detail once he's started the journey himself. Now, it's interesting, our custom is Ezekiel chapter 1 is actually a haftorah that we read in front of everybody, even though it contains these mystical concepts. But when do we read it? The first day of Shavuot, when everyone stayed up all night learning Torah, and everyone is, or let's say most people, might be half asleep and not delving into mystical concepts anyway, even if they are awake. The Mishnah adds a related bit of wisdom, kol mistokel ba'ar devarim. Anyone who looks into, really examines and delves into, philosophizes over these four things, ru'i lo, kilu lo, bal olam. It would have been better not to have been born in the first place. So these are mala mala, what is above? There's different explanations. What do you mean above? So it seems we mean above the angels, above the heads of the angels. Mala mata, the partner says, what's underneath the earth? It could refer to Gehenna, it could refer to another, you know, things that the eye doesn't really see. Malifnim, what existed before the world? If you ask the physicists what was before the Big Bang, they'll say, oh, it was an energy gradient. Okay, so okay, whatever that means. Mal-e-achor, and what is after? What is after the world as we know it? What is in Olam Haba and beyond space and time? The Rambam famously says, stick to the Torah we know and don't spend all your time and energy looking into these concepts that are not directly applicable. Now the Gemara in Chagiga Daf 14 talks about the four sages who went to Pardes, meaning they used some sort of mystical method to experience some sort of vision of heaven, of angels, of Kabbalistic concepts, and three out of four had a bad result. Only Rabbi Akiva came back normal, but most of them had a disastrous life as a result of trying to look into these concepts on a deeper level and understand them. And the Mishnah concludes, V'chol shelo chas al kavod kono, someone who has no concern over the honor of his owner, his creator, that's God. He's not concerned about what God thinks. Rui lo shlo bala olam. It's also fitting that he should never have been born. This refers to a person who sins very secretly because he doesn't want people to see him, but he doesn't care that God sees him or pretends that God doesn't see him, but he's very embarrassed in front of other people. And of course, Hashem, God, is omniscient, knows everything, so pretending that he doesn't is a very big misunderstanding of the reality of the universe. Yashar Koach, everyone should be well. We should have Besorot Tovot about Klal Yisrael and our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. Sei gesund.